Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to the Basketball Fiends Podcast, a proud member of the RS Kina Podcast Network. My name is Jesus Acevedo Jr., and with me as always is Alex Aguilera.
What's going on, my man? We got a nice little milestone here with this episode. It's our 20th episode of the Basketball Fiends Podcast, and it just so happens to land on May 20th.
What does that say? You know, the stars aligned for us to be able to have our 20th episode on May 20th. Now, I want our 30th episode to be on June 30th. Now, I don't know if that's going to work out. I'm going to have to do the math here after we record this episode. But yes, it is our 20th episode. Can you believe we've done 20 of these, Alex?
It's wild, man. But it, like you said, when the stars align, it's a wonderful, magical, beautiful thing. And, you know, just double 2020. You know, we don't talk about the year 2020, but this is a nice little 2020 that we have here. And yeah, it's exciting, you know, that we've already come this far in such a short amount of time. Probably like a year ago, we didn't even know we existed. And now here
right?
we are. Yeah,
that's right.
Right. Like yeah. A year.
Someone could tell me, hey, do you know Alex Aguilera? I'd be like, I don't know. And I don't care.
Right.
You know, like, I don't know. I mean, I hope he's good, but I don't know.
Right. And all of a sudden, we're doing 20 episodes later, we're moving. So it's awesome. I love it.
And, you know, it also coincides our 20th episode with the play-in tournament. We're going to recap the play-in tournament. So the games that have gone on, it's been everything the NBA has wanted and more. Alex, simply put.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that if you didn't see that Lakers-Warriors game, I mean, that's on you. But that's pretty much what I expected from this play-in tournament is for a game to happen like that. And I know the NBA loves it when you got LeBron and Steph going at it. So it lived up to the hype, man. I love it when it happens.
It's, to me, every play-in game is essentially a game seven. Right, that's exactly essentially what it is, and this Lakers Warriors matchup. We want to look at it. It was a classic Game Seven matchup, going back and forth. You know, and it was without a doubt the best of the bunch. But just to recap some of the other ones, you know, Boston Celtics beat the Wizards, which that kind of surprised me. But you know, Jason Tatum 50 piece. That was not expected, but you know, we've always been asking him to raise his game, and he did it. And then of course Spurs making a comeback down 21 against the Grizzlies. You know, you can never count down to the Spurs, but they did come up just a bit short. And you know, we may have to talk about Greg Popovich in the offseason, because I believe his contract is up, if I'm not mistaken, or there's an option. And you know, that there hasn't been much talk about that, or at least that I've seen. You know, and then the Pacers smoked, smoked the Charlotte Hornets, who I've been high on all season. I've been high on the Hornets on season, and look, this was a good experience for them. No matter the loss, but the Hornets shot out. You know, without Chris LeVert, you know, without Lamb, without Miles Turner, TJ Warren, they moved on to the next round. But, you know, this has been such an exciting game. Every game you got something different. And I think we can both agree that the NBA will be dumb not to bring it back.
I mean, yeah, like, it's stupid at this point. I mean, just that Lakers-Warriors game alone just sort of proves the success of this whole playing tournament. And I think the NBA also just got kind of lucky that it just so happened to be Lakers and Warriors, Steph and LeBron. You know, everybody loves that matchup. And we got, and like you said, it has a Game 7 atmosphere. And I think that's sort of the special ingredient, if you want to call it, the Krabby Patty secret formula to this to this playing tournament is having pretty much, you know, win or go home type of deal. I mean, obviously, it's you play two games, so if you lose your first game, obviously you have another game to try and sneak your way into the playoffs. But I do love the playoff atmosphere that it brings, and just sort of that win or go home wild card atmosphere as well. Just, you know, you don't necessarily see that at the end of the season. You know, you don't see a LeBron or Steph, you know, playing in a game like this. And for there to be some type of stakes, is I think it helps out a lot.
In typical 82-game season, without such a compressed schedule, maybe we don't see a Steph Curry versus LeBron in the playing tournament. You know, we see some lower seeds, some maybe younger teams that are getting this playoff experience. But the games will be just as intense. You know, it's still going to have that Game 7 do or die mentality, because it is, you know, win or go home. But one thing that I do find odd Alex, is that the NBA is not going to recognize any stats that occur during the play-in tournament. So they will be recorded either in the regular season or in the playoffs. So it just boggles my mind. So I'm like, so it's almost like these stats don't exist, which makes it seem like if the games don't exist, so now I'm lost. So the playing doesn't exist. So I'm confused. I'm going too deep into the matrix here, Alex.
Yeah, man, it definitely discombobulates your mind a little bit. It's like, okay, so playing tournament, it's at the end of the regular season, doesn't count towards that. But we talk about how it's sort of a playoff atmosphere, a playoff picture that you're playing for, essentially. That's what it is. You're playing for a playoff spot, and that doesn't count towards, you know, playoff stats. So it's weird that it's its own little entity. I don't get it. It's like a little spinoff. Like, you have the cinematic universe over here with the playoffs in the regular season, and then here's this little spin-off, you know, playing tournament that's its own little thing that has nothing to do with the stats on either side. So I don't know, it's odd.
I think the playing tournament is like the Venom movie and like the X-Men franchise. You know, they're not connected to the MCU, but they're there.
Yeah.
You know, maybe some characters appear, right. You know, but they don't count in the MCU.
That,
right?
Better explains the analogy I was trying to get at. Thank you.
But you know what the NBA should do, perhaps, is maybe they may have to create some awards for some of the play-in stats, and maybe that's a separate award. You know, the play-in MVP or the NBA play-in player of the tournament. Because look, in this first or second iteration of the play-in, we had Jason Tatum 50 points, LeBron James triple double. I mean. As the playing tournament continues in more seasons, stats are going to rack up. We're going to have some great games, some, you know, buzzer beaters. You could even have fun. You could have the fans vote for the most exciting moment of the playing tournament. There you go. NBA, hire me to run your social media directives. But, you know, speaking of awards, Alex, the NBA just recently announced the NBA War finalists. And I got to admit, we weren't too surprised by who was in the categories. Who were those nominated?
No, not at all. I mean, you look at this list and it's pretty much everyone that you would expect. So just like a quick rundown, you got for most valuable player, it's Steph Curry, Joel Embiid, and Nikola Jokic probably as the front runner. For that rookie of the year, you got LaMelo Ball, Anthony Edwards, Tyrese Halliburton. I believe Edwards is probably the favorite there, but I will say both of our picks are finalists. So that's kind of cool. We're a little smart. Whether or not they win it, that remains to be seen. You got Rudy Gobert, Draymond Green, Ben Simmons for Defensive Player of the Year. Most Improved, Jeremiah Grant from the Pistons, Michael Porter Jr., and Julius Randle. If Julius Randle doesn't win that, I'm going to throw a fit. So the Jordan Clarkson, Joe Ingles, Derrick Rose for Six Man. And then to round it out, Coach of the Year, we got Quinn Snyder, Tim. God, I was reading something on Tim Tebow earlier, and then I got Tom Thibodeau and Monty Williams to round out Coach of the Year.
Now, I will say, you know, there were a couple surprises. You know, I started, you know, when we decided to make this a topic, I said, let me be nitpicky now, right? One name that I was surprised not to see in the Defensive Player of the Year award was Bam Adebayo of the Miami Heat. And I wonder if Green's name, if he's there based more on his past accolades, and that landed him a spot over Bam. Not to say that Draymond Green is still not a great defensive player, but I think he's at that level now where every year he's going to be, you know, in the running, you know, and this just proves it. But I think Bam Adebayo definitely deserves to have been in there, and I would have, you know, swapped him out for Green. You could even swap him out for Ben Simmons. You know, I know I was high on Ben Simmons early on in the season. I know when we made our predictions, I said that he will be my pick for NBA Defensive Player of the Year. But I think as the season wore on, his defensive impact was a little less. I think Bam Adebayo was more consistent throughout the whole season. And it's funny, you know, he tweeted out earlier today. Well, I should say Thursday, because we're recording on Thursday night. He tweeted out, ha ha.
Oh, that's it.
That's it. Okay. Ha ha. Which I can only speculate it's about this exact thing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see why not. And I agree with you. I think he does deserve to be in the running for Defensive Player of the Year. And it's like no disrespect to Draymond Green. I mean, he's always going to be in that conversation. You know, when we look back, we're going to see Draymond Green as one of the better defensive players, you know, when he played in his career. But I think this time around, I felt, like you said, Bam Adebayo, there was a little bit more consistency there with him throughout the season. Draymond Green, it was like, I mean, don't get me wrong, he had a good season. You know, it was solid, but he had some blips there where it's not the Draymond Green that we're used to seeing. And once again, you can also make the case for Ben Simmons, where he started off pretty hot as sort of a defensive pillar for the 76ers and then kind of fell off. But I mean, still overall good.
The other surprise, not surprise I'll say, but I just questioned the decision, was Sixth Man of the Year award. I don't understand the thinking behind having two players from the same team.
Yeah.
As the Sixth Man of the Year. So that means that one is six man, the other is seven man. So that means they can both be six man. It feels like they might cancel each other out in the voters' mind. And if that's the case, Derrick Rose could find himself getting the award. And wouldn't that be something?
That would be cool, man. Just the road, the path that Derrick Rose has been on since the injuries that he sustained with the Bulls. And I mean, I don't see it as, you know, you have two Utah Jazz and you cancel them out and that's how he gets the award. I will say, I think, and I said it so many times, that when Rose landed with the Knicks, I was like, oh my God, like, this looks good. Like, I can see this working out really well. And the Knicks are a damn fourth seed in the East. And a big part of that is because of Derrick Rose and Julius Randle. I would say he's the biggest reason. But, you know, the impact of Derrick Rose was real as a veteran coming off the bench. So I think he is deserving of that Sixth Man award, not just because there's two Jazz players.
Which, I mean, just goes to my point why I think he might win it, because I think some voters might pick Derrick Rose.
Yeah.
And then those that have to split between, you know, Joe Ingles and Brandon Clarkson. It might be a close race.
Jordan Clarkson.
Jordan Clarkson, I'm like,
we're getting our names mixed up now.
Oh my God. Now, the MVP and the Rookie of the Year filled out how we envision. I do think still Rookie of the Year, I think LaMelo Ball will get it. I know it might be a little closer now than previously envisioned because of the games he missed and Edwards raced his game after sort of a, I guess you could say, slow start to the season. He definitely picked it up. Definitely has a dunk of the year in my eyes. Whew, that dunk, I still see it. I'm like, it sounds like he just had like boosters in his shoes. But yeah, and I think MVP, you know, I think it'll be Jokic. I think we both agreed.
Yeah, I think we're in agreement on that. Joel Embiid and Steph Curry definitely make their cases, but I think with Jokic, you see throughout the whole season, I mean, he was the guy for Denver, Joel Embiid. I think had he not gotten banged up, he might have swiped it. And I think what definitely elevated Steph was him just going bonkers the latter half of the season.
I think if Joel hadn't got hurt, we could easily be talking about a possible co-MVP type season. Co-MVP award. That's how good Joel's season was before the injury. I mean, the fact that he's even still in top three with the games he missed speaks to the kind of season that he had. And then, you know, you mentioned Coach of the Year, and, you know, those are the three coaches that we talked about when we say who could be Coach of the Year. I think in an earlier episode, we said Quinn Snyder, Tom Thibodeau, and Monty Williams. You know, speaking of Monty Williams, he does have the upper hand, Alex, and that's our third topic, because Monty Williams was recently named Coach of the Year by the National Basketball Coaches Association, which is an award voted on by the league's 30 head coaches. And that's high praise from your fellow coaches, you know, people that know what it is to coach in this league. It's I wonder if coaches have more affinity for this award over the NBA Coach of the Year, where not to diminish that one, right? But this is voted on by your peers.
Yeah, I think it definitely, as my dad likes to say, is a nice little feather in your cap when the people that you compete against, that you're trying to beat, acknowledge the work that you've done with your squad and saying, hey, man, like, you know, you're the guy this year. And I would say rightfully so with Monty Williams. And you look at the Suns, they're ranked, I believe, sixth in defense and then seventh in offense. So top 10 in both of the two, you know.
Most important categories.
Right. Most important categories for teams. I think they improved. I'm just kind of looking at stats. They improved by 17 games compared to last year in a shortened regular season. And I mean, it's, you just look at how Monty came in with the Suns. I want to say, yeah. So when Monty Williams came with the Suns, they were 19-63. And that was 2 years ago. And here they are as a 2 seed in the West. I stacked the West at that. So, I mean, I think it has to go to Monty Williams. I mean, Tom Thibodeau and Quinn Snyder, they're definitely in that conversation for sure. But just the jump that the Phoenix Suns have taken, even in just the past year, is incredible.
Now, you know, more often than not, the coach that wins the Coach of the Year from the National Basketball Coaches Association goes on to win the NBA Coach of the Year. There have been some, you know, mixed results in a couple of past years, but I think it's going to be a close race, you know. But I think the Suns, you know, Monty Williams winning this award from his peers, like you said, people that he has to compete against. I mean, the Suns became the fifth team in NBA history to improve their win total by 15 or more games in consecutive seasons. You know, that's hard to do, you know, and they're not a true from worst to best. But you want to look at it, tracking from where they drafted Devin Booker. You know, they're like, okay, this is our first cornerstone. This is our first pillar. You know, and then they've slowly started building. Had a couple rough years, right, where Booker was going off. You know,
yeah.
You know, Curry-esque, Harden-esque levels he was going off. So it's definitely well-deserved, you know, and, you know, they got the number 2 seed. That's in a, like you said, stacked West. But it also has to be said, you know, we can't diminish the role that Chris Paul has played in helping Monty Williams bring this young team. Because, you know, we forget it is a young team still. They have a couple of veterans, Chris Paul, one of them. But some of the other veterans are, you know, still in their early 30s, maybe late 20s, you know, so they're not as old. They still got legs, but it's still a relatively young team. So Chris Paul is a coach on the court, right? Let's just be honest. I saw him play right here, you know, with the Houston Rockets. That's essentially what he is. So it definitely helps any coach. But this is a good award, and I think, you know, it's going to be close. It's going to be close if he gets NBA Coach of the Year just because of, you know, the media love for New York. It's the only why Tom Thibodeau might snatch it up.
Yeah, he could snag it from Monty Williams, but I don't know. I just see sort of the longevity of the work that he's done with the Suns. And granted that Tom Thibodeau like literally turned around this New York Knicks team in a year, but he pretty much did that with the Bulls, and he won, rightfully so. So it's, but I think it's the circumstances with this one. I would give the edge to Monty Williams. Just how much of a jump that Phoenix has made. I mean, this is a team that won 8 in a row in the bubble and still didn't make the playoffs, and now here they come in carrying that momentum that I saw from afar because I could see into the future. Not really, but. You know, just carrying that momentum from the bubble and, you know, making it a 2 seed. So it's definitely a testament to what Monty Williams has done, especially, you know, with the team that they had when he first came in.
Well, we'll see if that prediction plays out. I know, I think in an earlier episode, I said Tom Thibodeau will take it, so I'm going to stick with that prediction, but I'm perfectly okay being wrong because Monty deserves it. But now, our last topic is our first round predictions, Alex. We got some good first round series, and me personally, I got 3 must watch series that I'm gonna keep a little extra eye on, and I'll talk about them as we run through our predictions. So we got about 10 minutes left in the show. We'll see how many we get into. We're gonna get into all of them, but we'll see how much we get into each one. Some will talk more, some will talk less. But we're gonna start in the Eastern Conference. We're gonna start with 4 and 5 with Tom Thibodeau and the New York Knicks going up against the Hawks. My prediction right off the bat on this series is I think the Knicks take the series in 5 or 6, which is funny because in an earlier episode, we both said that of both the Knicks and Hawks in the playoffs, we both said New York is more likely to advance past the first round. And here they are facing off each other. But that's my pick. 5, 6, and the Knicks take it.
You know what? I'm right there with you. I'm going to say the Knicks take it in 5. I'm going to be a little spicy with my pick and say they win it in 5 games. You know, what's also actually kind of interesting, though, is that sort of how evenly matched the Knicks and the Hawks are. So they both went 41-31 in the regular season. And here's kind of the interesting part. They both went 25-11 at home, and they both went 16-20 on the road.
Oh, just got chills on my body.
So, I mean, you talk about like evenly matched. I mean, I know that's records wise, but yeah, man, it's, I don't know. I just, when numbers align like that, I'm like, huh, that's kind of interesting. But I just think with the veteran presence that the Knicks have, and of course with Tom Thibodeau as well, I think that gives them that edge over the Hawks, even though that is a young, talented team. But I go with, you know, playoff experience prevails at the end of the day. It's very rare that you see, you know, a young team triumph over teams that have, you know, a lot of playoff presence among them, and you don't really have that with the Hawks. So it'll be a learning experience, but, you know, I could see them snagging a game.
You know, much like I said earlier for the Charlotte Hornets, that, the, you know, being in the play-in tournament was a good experience. I think for the Hawks, being the fifth seed and making the playoffs with this young team, it's going to make them even better for next season. And yeah, the Knicks, I think it's going to be hard for the Hawks to stop Julius Randle. So moving on, we got the Bucks versus the Heat. And this is my first must-watch series. I think this is going to be a very tough, tough series for both teams, you know. It has the potential to be one of the best first-round matchups this season. Heat are always a tough out when everyone is healthy. And look, it's the playoffs, so everybody's healthy, right? So I think it's – I quite struggle with who to pick in this matchup. You know, I think the matchup really is going to be between Bam and Giannis. And I'm going to go ahead and say I got the Bucks in 7.
You know what? I actually might have to roll with you. I think the Bucks do win it in 7.
I think it's, that but to me was a coin flip, but it's gonna be close. That's why, yeah. I said 7. You know, I almost put Heat 7, but I think the Bucks, I feel they've been very underrated the whole season. Not underrated, they've been good the whole season, but haven't gotten much talked about this season because they've had another great season. You know, another great season, and I think this is, they have something to prove.
Yeah, I agree with you that they kind of have a chip on their shoulder. With the year that I think they lost to the Raptors in the conference finals, everyone kind of thought, oh, okay, next year, 2020, was going to be the year that they take that next step and make it to the finals. And obviously, you know, the Heat bounced them in the second round. And I believe, you know, Giannis wasn't very healthy. So it was a depleted Bucks team that went up against the Heat last year, but now I would say both teams are fully healthy and good to go. So, you know, I think I might give that little edge to the Bucks, because now, even though the Miami Heat have been this Bucks team, they are now seeing a fully healthy playoff Milwaukee Bucks. So, and once again, they have a chip on their shoulder. They're hungry. They wanna. You know, have some success. They need to have success in the playoffs.
Definitely. Then the last series we'll get into in the Eastern Conference is the number 2 Brooklyn Nets versus the number 7 Boston Celtics. To me, this one is a simple one. I think Nets should take it in 5 games. I wouldn't be surprised if the Nets sweep. Because, look, Boston's going to go as far as Tatum takes them. You know, he had to drop 50 points for them to get past the first round of the play-in. You know, the Nets are just too powerful at this stage. You know, more talent. When even if one player doesn't go off, there you have so many more. Now, I'll tell you this. Boston is going to be a tough out. You know, they are a hard-nosed team, especially in the playoffs. So they are going to play hard.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you. I mean, when you look at the Brooklyn Nets, just you know, just the eye test, and you look at the roster, it's like, okay, it's hard. It would be mind blowing if they do get bounced, you know, in the first round. But what I look at the Celtics is it's a depleted Celtics team. You don't have Jaylen Brown, which is a huge loss, a very huge loss that complements Jason Tatum. So now, if Boston wants to win, you know, you kind of have to lean on the shoulders of Jason Tatum, which has worked out for you so far because he has been playing well. But can he do that against a Brooklyn Nets team that is super stacked? And granted, not the best defensive team, but Brooklyn is going to look at the Celtics and say, hey, as long as we lock down Jason Tatum and just hope, and, you know, maybe Kemba Walker, but once again, he's been kind of iffy with the Celtics, then, you know, they should win the series fine.
Yeah, they should have not too many problems. And now we go on to the Western Conference. We start out with the 4-seed LA Clippers versus the number 5 Dallas Mavericks. And this is my second must-watch series of the first round. This is a rematch from the bubble playoffs, where the Clippers took out the Mavs. You know, we all remember Luka Doncic's buzzer beater. But I think this is going to be a great series to watch. And this was also a tough one to predict. You know, the Western Conference, every series is just tough to predict. I do think the Clippers have something to prove as well in these playoffs after the flameout in the bubble playoffs. But like I said, I think the Mavs want payback for those same playoffs where the Clippers eliminated them. So I'm thinking upset, and I'm going to go Dallas in 6.
Oh, okay.
How do you like that?
I'm not mad at that. I'm actually not mad at that at all. But.
But there's always a but. You know, we like big buts helping here. You know, but, you know. Yeah.
But I still will roll with the Clippers. I will say the Clippers in 6.
Okay.
I'll roll with the Clippers just because I'm a little weary with Dallas, or maybe Kristaps Porzingis, I guess, and what impact he's going to have in that series. You know, is he going to be 100%? I don't think so. And I don't know. I mean, aside from Luka, and it isn't, you know, to say the rest of the team sucks, but, you know, I'm not sure how much depth really that the Dallas Mavericks have in which that they can compete with the LA Clippers. So I don't know. I'm not fully sold on the Mavericks yet. But once again, like, that's probably the same case with me with the Clippers. But, you know, I think it'll be a gritty series. But I just think the Clippers just have a little bit more of an edge over the Mavericks that, you know, kind of gets them over the hump. But I don't see it going like 4 or 5 games by any means.
Well, so far, that's the first series we've disagreed on. We'll see how many more. We have 2 more series to talk about. The next one is the number 3-seeded Denver Nuggets versus the number 6-seeded Portland Trailblazers. And I'm going to make my prediction right off the bat. I see another first-round exit for the Blazers. I think the matchup to watch will be Jokic versus Nurkic. If the Blazers want to give the Nuggets any trouble in this series, you know, Nurkic has to somehow contain the Joker. You know, I know he actually had a good season on the defensive side. And by containing him, I mean, you have to deny him the ball. You have to get up in him. You know, you have to take his playmaking abilities out of him, you know, make him be just a scorer. I think if you make the Joker be just a scorer, I think that's your best maybe possibility to hang with Denver this series, make it a long one. But I think I got Denver in 6.
Damn. Okay. I actually might. You know what? No, I'm going to say Denver, but I'm going to say it in 7. I really do think the Blazers can test Denver. I do see the absence of Jamal Murray playing a little bit of a factor in that, where if you can somehow contain Jokic, that makes things a little interesting. You have a guy over there named Damian Lillard who is not that bad at the game of basketball. That is a man that can definitely carry a team if he needs to. And believe me, that man has needed to carry the Blazers more than he'd probably like to, but he's willing to. He doesn't mind. And right next to him is CJ McCollum. So that little backcourt, if they come out hot and you can somehow contain Jokic, I mean, I could definitely see the Blazers giving the Nuggets a little scare. But I will have to still agree with you, though, as much as I'm over here praising the Blazers. Like, hey, they could test Denver. I'm still going to roll with Denver, though, because I just don't really see how you can stop the front runner for MVP.
The last matchup we got is the number 2-seeded Phoenix Suns going up against the number 7-seeded Lakers. And, you know, this is my third must-watch, and this might be the most must-watch playoff series. You know, it's you got the Suns and the Lakers, Chris Paul versus LeBron James, and I feel for the Phoenix Suns and their fans. You know, you work hard all season, you nab the number 2-seed, and what's your prize? Oh, here you go. First round matchup against the LA Lakers, a healthy Lakers team that has everyone available. Maybe LeBron's not at 100%, but it's the playoff. You know, he's going to pick his spots to choose, just like as he did in the playing game. So this one is really a tough one to call. You know, it's and the reason I made this decision that I'm about to say is because you've been high on the Suns all year, so let's keep it rolling. I got Phoenix in 7.
Okay. That's good. I got Phoenix in 7, too. I can't back out.
You can't.
I can't back out. But I will say, when I was checking out the Warriors and the Lakers, I was like, man, I kind of want the Warriors to win. Just I prefer that matchup over the Lakers. And then LeBron, of course, hits that basket, or he saw 3 baskets, whatever. You know, he got poked in the eye. And I was like, damn, man, they got to put the Lakers. Like, oh. I mean, they're healthy, not 100%, but everyone's good to go. And
healthy-ish, you know, you're healthy-ish.
Healthy-ish, but when you got a guy named LeBron James who is going to flip the switch, especially come playoff time, it's like, okay, that's a guy you definitely don't. You prefer not to play in the first round regardless of what seed you are. But I'm still going to roll with the Phoenix Suns. I just think, aside from being just a bandwagon fan, just through and through, they're just a very solid team. I think this is the year where they can make a run. I look at Devin Booker, you know, coming out and just, like, honestly, kind of taking over a little bit with Phoenix. I think this is definitely a playoff series where he can shine a little bit. And once again, the man Chris Paul, who you could argue was a little bit of an MVP snub, that he could have been a finalist. You know, that man has taken this team up not one notch, not two notches, 15 or 17, however many games they improve. That many notches. That's how many notches Chris Paul has upped the Phoenix Suns. So I think it'll be a gritty matchup. I wouldn't honestly still wouldn't be surprised if the Lakers pull it off, just because, you know, it's LeBron and AD. But yeah, man, I could still see Phoenix taking care of business.
Yeah, definitely. It's my most must-watch series, you know, Suns-Lakers. There's going to be a lot of eyeballs on that series. So those are our first round predictions for these playoffs. You know, we'll make them again for the second round. And, you know, we actually went over the 10 minutes, but hey, this is the NBA playoffs, so you're going to get a little extra from the basketball fiends, you know. So just to finish off, I wanted to kind of recap the NBA Hall of Fame. You know, I got a chance to watch some of the speeches, and, you know, there were so many big names getting inducted this season. You know, like we talked about last episode, you know, Kobe, Duncan, KG, that I didn't even get to talk a chance about Rudy Tomjanovich. You know,
yeah,
he got admitted.
I'm sorry, how do you pronounce his last name?
Tomjanovich.
Tomjanovich. Okay, I got to remember that. I could never pronounce his last name, but
Rudy
go ahead.
Rudy T. You know, he's, you know, brought 2 titles, helped bring 2 titles to the Houston Rockets. And I'm not going to lie, I was watching the speech, and I was getting emotional as he was talking, just because I remember all these players that he's talking about, you know, some of these moments. And it was just, you know, it's crazy how sports, especially in these moments where these giants of the game get honor. You know, I also saw KG's speech was a real good one. Duncan's was as well. I liked the, you know, when he was riffing about Popovich, you know, that he didn't want to thank him, you know, because, you know, Popovich, you know, he doesn't want that. So it was, you know, these speeches are great to see. You know, of course, Kobe's, you know, that was definitely, you know, Vanessa Bryant having that, and, you know, having Michael Jordan right there standing next. So it was definitely something good to see, you know. But I want to shout out Rudy Tomjanovich, you know, two titles, you know, I think, you know, coached the Lakers, coached Kobe, got an Olympic gold medal. So definitely very deserving.
Rudy.
And he gave us one of the best quotes ever. Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
That was him. Holy crap, that was him.
Don't ever.
Oh,
that's the quote.
My God. How could I forget?
Because the Houston Rockets were the...
I feel kind of stupid now.
Yeah, I think you should. Because the Houston Rockets were the number six seed. The number six seed, the lowest seed to ever win the title. You know, we're going to have to make this a topic for our summer. Since, you know, we're going to keep this podcast going. Just because it's summer, the basketball fiends don't stop. We're going to have things to talk about, aren't we, Alex?
Oh, yeah. For sure. There's stuff to talk about. And probably, you know, some little WNBA. We got that going on.
That's true. You know, we're going to get into a little crazy things in the summer. We have to fill the space, you know. But as far as this episode, we're coming to our end. Thank you so much for checking us out another week. Come back weekly. Every Friday, we'll be here talking about NBA playoffs, which is really one of the best moments of the year around this time. So any plans this weekend, Alex?
Damn. I don't know.
Watching basketball games.
Yeah, probably watching basketball. I don't know. I guess hanging out with my dad. Well, he's always off on weekends anyway. But he was off this week, so we've just been kind of hanging out. He got the week off, so we've just been chilling. But yeah, damn. I don't think I got anything planned this weekend. Well, I might be meeting up with a buddy of mine from high school next week. We haven't seen each other in a while, so I got that going next week.
There you go. For next week. So I'll ask you again next week.
Yep. There you go.
All right. There you go. All right, people. Thank you so much for listening to the Basketball Fiends. Don't forget to subscribe. See ya.
Deuces.